About a year ago, this a young man and at the same time a young Christian came to me. He had been working in a bank for not very long particularly, and since becoming a Christian and working in this bank, he had wanted to declare that he was a Christian, and he had done that. But ever since he'd done that, life had become hard for him. He was, in his own words, getting a hard time from his boss. He believed that the whole work rota was not being very fair to him. And he said to me, after all of that, he says, you know, I'm trying to stand up for God, and things aren't going very well. And I'm wondering if God is with me, because nothing's going well since I've stood up for him. Now, some of you may have sympathy with that emotion. Is God with me? It might not be because you've got particular problems at work, although it may well be that you're in exactly the same situation. It might just be because there are problems, you know, in your normal everyday life. Is God with me? Well, be sure today, as we look at Exodus chapter 17, that to doubt God's presence is actually a denial of the gospel. It's a denial of God's character, no less, and this is the crucial thing for today. It is a guarantee of an ineffective Christian life. If I'm not sure God is with me, if I doubt his presence, you can be sure that you will be less than effective as a Christian. See, the question, is God with us, was certainly the big question for the Israelites in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2, you'll see that on page 74, top left-hand corner, the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. We haven't got anything to eat, they said in verse 3. It was great in Egypt. McDonald's was just round the corner. The shelves in Tesco's were always full, and our freezers at home were chock-a-block. But here in the desert, we're famished. See verse 3? You've brought us out into the desert to starve to death. Now, as Wimbledon rapidly approaches, and I am a great fan of Wimbledon, there's only one response to that. In the immortal words of John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. Did the Israelites really believe that the Lord delivered them so marvellously and so miraculously out of that land of Egypt in the slavery of the Egyptians just so that they would die in the desert? Did they really believe that? Well, it seems they did, because they say it again in chapter 17. You see, even after the Lord provided meat and manna from heaven in chapter 16, they complained again. This time because there was nothing to wash it down with, no Perrier available, neither still nor sparkling, and Moses hadn't even arranged for the water board to erect a standing pipe in the desert. And so we see in chapter 17 and verse 3, they ask, why did you bring us into this desert? Just to die of thirst. Now at a glance we may be tempted to think that their grumbling for bread and water was entirely reasonable. But as we look on to verse 7 of chapter 17, we see actually it was all about testing the Lord. The question, is the Lord really among us or not? They doubted the Lord's presence, you see, suggesting that he'd brought them out of Egypt simply to torture them. See how that is a denial of God's character? He brought them out of Egypt just to inflict on them a slow death in the desert. They were going to starve to death and die of thirst. And you see why that is so outrageous? The Lord really deliver us out of Egypt? Just to dump us in the desert? Of course he wouldn't leave them and abandon them. See, for God's people to doubt God's presence is unbelief. A complete affront to the Lord, a denial of the gospel, a denial of who God is. It is, in one sense, outrageous for the Christian to ask, is God with me? Is that astonishing? See, Christian, remember what he's done for you. If you're a Christian here today, remember what he's done for you. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that you should be brought out of slavery to sin, and while you were his enemy, no less, we're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Christ died for you, rescued you to abandon you. Please, you cannot be serious. Now you see, to doubt the presence of the Lord when tough times come is actually unbelief. No, he never promised life would be easy. The way of the cross is never easy, is it? But just because life is tough, it doesn't mean that God's abandoned us. Far from it. Now the Israelites needed to know that. And they needed to know that, especially when real opposition came. You see, at the moment, in chapter 16 and 17, all they'd been dealing with were the ordinary things of life. They needed food and water. Now in chapter 17, verse 8, real opposition comes just because they're God's people. So we read in verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Now, do you see, before we read on, at that point, having read chapter 16 and 17, we come to verse 8 wondering, are they again going to doubt God? Faced with this opposition, are they going to give up and say, you've just brought us out into the desert to be slaughtered at the hands of the Amalekites? Because, of course, if they say that now, then they will be slaughtered at the hands of the Amalekites. Will they lie down and die, or will they trust God to deliver them? That's the big issue. That's the issue for the Israelites, and indeed, that's the issue for us as God's people today, isn't it? Will we go on trusting God, whatever is thrown at us? That is always the question, but in reality, it's only a question when times are tough. Don Carson says, any fool can trust God when everything's going well. See, so actually, it's not a problem when everything's going well. We never doubt God's presence. But when times are tough, we're going to trust him? That he's with us, that he hasn't abandoned us. See, I guess a good number of people here today are going through difficulties of one sort or another. Because Christians are not exempt from hardship, are we? We still have to make ends meet, pay the mortgage, buy the food from Tesco's or wherever you happen to go. We still have to visit the doctor for whatever reason. We still have to face death. I had to a week last Tuesday as I went to the funeral of a good friend, Christian guy, served all his life, the Lord Jesus. He was 40 when he died. You see, we still have to face these issues, don't we? And some ordeals come to us just because we bear the name of Christ. I guess some of you are dealing real in-your-face opposition, Amalekite-type opposition, just because you are one of the people of God. How will we face that? That's the question. Is it in those really hard times that we then say, I really wonder if God really cares for me? Is he with me? Well, you see, if you think like that, then you're defeated already. Well, remarkably, and for once, the Israelites didn't ask that question. Rather, we read in verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I'll stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Good call, Moses. Joshua, you go and fight, I'll stand somewhere safe, at the top of the hill, far away. Now that's the sort of leadership I like. Now of course that is not what Moses is doing at all. Indeed, as the story unfolds, we see how crucial Moses' actions really are. Look at verse 10. Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held his hands up, the Israelites are winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites are winning. And then I love the humor and reality of verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. That would make him a bit lower, you see. So that Aaron and Hur held his hands up. See, if he's lower down, they could hold his hands up without their hands getting tired as well. So his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So Joshua and the boys did what we realise Kevin Keegan and the boys just don't seem to be able to do these days. They won. But what made the difference? Well, look at verse 11 again. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites are winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites are winning. It wasn't Joshua that won the battle at all, was it? But actually, the surprise in this chapter is it wasn't Moses either. The difference was the Lord. Because as we roll back a couple of verses, back to verse 9, we realise that Moses went up to the hill with the staff of God in his hands. That is the crucial thing. The difference was the Lord. See, the book of Exodus has already told us what the staff symbolizes. You can look it up sometime. It's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 5. The staff was the symbol of God's presence, which you see is exactly the issue for the Israelites in the previous two chapters. In chapter 17, verse 7, is the Lord really among us? And so we see when Moses held up the staff, the symbol of God's presence, the reminder that God was with them, then they overcame. And see, despite popular thought, there is no mention of Moses praying in this text, is there? Not one mention. Because this is not about prayer, it's about the presence of God. That's the thing they've been doubting for two chapters. And so here we see the Amalekites were defeated only because of the presence of the Lord. The point is this, if God is not with me, there is no way I will survive as a Christian. If God is not with me, I will be defeated every time. If I doubt God's presence, I am on the way to being defeated and not standing fast for him. Whenever Moses lowered his hands, the hands which held the staff of God, the symbol of God's presence, the Amalekites were winning. It's God's presence that makes the difference. And being sure that God is with me makes the difference. Now you will know that in your own situations. You see, I will not stand up for the truth of the gospel when there is opposition if I doubt God's presence, will I? If I'm not sure he's with me, I am not going to face the ridicule of my colleagues at work when I stand up and be counted. If I'm not sure that God is with me, I'm certainly not going to face the abuse that comes when people give me a hard time because I'm a Christian. If I say, is God with me, there is no point me sharing the gospel. Because if he's not with me, no one will become a Christian anyway. See how being sure of the presence of God is vital? I'll not stand up for Christ in professional, ethical and moral decisions if I doubt God's presence, will I? Because if I stand up for the real issues in the office, if I stand up and be different in my place of work, I may be putting my job on the line. And with my job, my family, my home, I'm not going to stand up for those things if I doubt God's presence. I think of a young man who hadn't been a Christian very long, who was asked to drive an unroadworthy vehicle in his job. He'd already mentioned a couple of times that he wasn't happy doing it, and then it came to a head. And he had a really hard time for it. No, he didn't lose his job, but it was close. It was a close thing. He only did that because he was sure that God was with him. Why should I want to go through all that if I'm not sure about that? You see how knowing the presence of God, being sure that God is with me, makes the difference. Helps me stand up and be counted and stand for what I know is right. Now let's be real as we look at Exodus 17. The episode is not a mandate for Christian victory in the face of opposition, is it? I guess most of us have been Christians long enough to know that Christ's truth is not always victorious in this rotten world. And it is certainly not always victorious in the workplace, is it? It does seem sometimes that the evildoers prosper, and those who are trying to live a good life don't seem to get very far. So no, this is not a mandate for Christian victory, but be sure of this. We will have no hope of overcoming if we're not sure that God is with us, that the Lord is present. Because not only will we not stand up for the truth, but if the Lord is not present, then, well, nothing's going to change anyway. Now, you see, doubting God's presence is completely debilitating in the Christian life, which is why the whole of this nation of doubters, the Israelites, had to learn that the Lord is present with his people, and indeed that it's only his presence that will defeat the enemy and keep them going in the Christian life. The presence of the Lord is what keeps us going. So verse 15, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our captain, our deliverer." God's deliverance, you see, is ongoing. So no, the Lord didn't just deliver them out of Egypt so that they would die in the desert. He is the one who sustained them throughout, from the first to the last. He doesn't start a job and not finish it. I used to work, as some of you will know, in a newspaper business. I was the promotions manager, and so I had a few people working for me. One bloke that worked for me, I could never trust to do the job. He would always leave things undone. So we'd talk about all that we needed to achieve on the Monday. We would work out what we were going to do. And by the Friday, almost without fail, he had not done the job. It was very, very trying. Absolutely hopeless to work with a bloke like that. Now that is not the case with God. The Lord doesn't start a job and then not finish it. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He doesn't dump you when things are tough. He's with you then. See, the Christian life continues the same way that it starts and the same way that it will end. Through God's presence with me, doing his work in me. The Australian evangelist John Chapman says this. He says, we come by the gospel, we live by the gospel, and we die by the gospel. But he goes on to say that actually most of us only think that we come by the gospel and we die by the gospel. Let me explain what he says. We know as Christians, if we're well taught, that the only way we ever come to God is through the cross of the Lord Jesus. And we know that what will make a difference at the end of our lives is the cross of the Lord Jesus, when we come face to face with him. But so often then we change the bit in the middle. We know we come by the gospel and we die by the gospel, but then we think we live the Christian life by works. God will only be present with me if I keep going, if I've had a quiet time, if I'm faithful. No, he will keep me going. I come by the gospel, I live by the gospel, and I die by the gospel. Now we need to be sure of that, not only through the whole of Christian life, but particularly when times are tough, when I face opposition, as the Israelites did here. God sent his son to die for me on the cross. I can be sure he's with me now. He's not going to do a great thing back then just to dump me now, is he? See, if you stand up for Christ at work or anywhere for that matter, then sooner or later you will get a hard time. So take strength from this. Don't doubt God's presence. Be assured of it. And indeed enjoy it as your assurance. Well, of course, the Lord's presence doesn't mean we're to be passive, that we're to do nothing, just sit back and let him do it all. Do you see verse 9, this lovely balance? Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites, and tomorrow I'll stand on top and remind you of the presence of God. And the same in verse 10, so Joshua fought the Amalekites. He did the fighting, and Moses reminded them of the presence of the Lord. See, some people suggest, well, if it's all up to God, then I don't need to do anything, do I? That, of course, is nonsense. Rather, it's because it's all up to God that he is always present with me that it's worth me doing anything. Because he's with me and he can make a difference. Now, Joshua needed to learn that, which is why verse 14, the Lord said, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I'll completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Now, the Lord will be victorious. It is the Lord's work to be victorious. But remember, Joshua particularly had to know that, because what was he going to face in the future? Many more battles as he took the people of God into the land, into Canaan. Well, let me ask you again. Are you doubting God's presence? Are you doubting that he's with you today? When you go through hard times, do you tend to doubt his presence, thinking that he's left you? Don't doubt any longer. Partly because it is an offence to the Lord to doubt. It is a denial of his character. He's promised you he'll be with you. You can be sure of that. But don't doubt either, because doubting his presence will leave you ineffective as a Christian. Defeated, indeed. No, through hard times, I then need to be sure God is present. I need to look back to the cross for that assurance. If he did that back then, he will be with me now. And then, being assured of his presence will assure me that it's worth fighting the battles, standing up and being counted, whatever the cost. Let's pray. Lord God, we say thank you to you that you're marvellously encouraging to us. We thank you for your faithfulness, particularly in a world where there is unfaithfulness all around us. We even recognise before you today that we are unfaithful before you, so often letting you down. Yet we thank you still that you said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And we pray that would be a great encouragement to us, and particularly for any here today who are going through really tough times. May your presence with them galvanize them and encourage them to want to keep going, that we all may stand firm for you and make a difference, being faithful as we ought. And we ask it in Jesus' name.